Well, we thank the Lord this morning for His wonderful and great salvation. His great love to us, compassion, mercies. Thank the Lord this morning for His thoughtfulness of us and all that He's done for us. This morning I would like to consider a thought. It's a broad subject, so it'll be more of an introduction than anything. It's about the Holy Spirit and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit leadership. If you remember last Sunday, we read the scripture that Paul wrote to Timothy that said, in the last days shall come perilous times. And that word perilous means dangerous, perhaps even very dangerous. And we spoke last Sunday about the dangers of self-love and how it has impacted mankind adversely ever since the Garden of Eden and the fall there. We tried to bring out, and trust the Lord impressed us, that how we as individuals, as a family, the families of the world, how mankind itself, and how the Church of God has suffered in the past and today because of the result of men loving themselves first. Self-love is the most, in my mind, the most dangerous thing that we can indulge in. It is the seedbed for sedition and heresies and ungodliness and all manner of unrighteousness. It's fleshly. It leans entirely to what is pleasant and what I or what you as an individual wants. And self-love cannot be overly emphasized as a very dangerous and perilous thing in our life. And we won't try to preach all that again, just as kind of a refresh us. One of the scriptures we also used was in Matthew, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And I believe the Lord said in that, this is the first and great commandment. Our first duty as a Christian, really as a mankind, but as a Christian, is to absolutely love God first. And by loving God first, we love what He loves. We enjoy what He enjoys. We have as our goal and our mission what His goals and what His mission is. We develop in Him the character of Christ because we love Him. Talking about today, Holy Spirit leadership. When you begin to consider this commandment of Christ and of God, to love Him without any reservation, to love God without any equal to Him, and to love Him with every bit of who we are, every dynamic that we that encompasses us as a person, absolutely to love God first. If you think about that, the word came to me this way, that that's a daunting task. Have you ever in your life had the flesh cry out for what it wants? Not always sinful, is it? But have you ever noticed the voice that the flesh can make, the sound it can make? Have you ever noticed a crying baby and how it can gain attention? Have you ever noticed how the flesh can cry out and, folks, we listen to it, we know it's there, and we're aware of it. Ourself, our passions, our pride even, cries out for recognition. Me first. My feelings. My emotions. My valleys. My mountains. All seek recognition. All seek to be heard. And as they're heard, we follow them. Many times. As we hear the voice that speaks from within telling me. And we oftentimes follow that. That brings the danger. It's not so much that the voices are there, but is that we follow those voices. Many times people do. And we become, Paul wrote, lovers of selves, even more than lovers of God, lovers of pleasure. Today, I want to look at that from the Holy Spirit leadership. This is a message that I got to studying it, meditating on it, praying about it, and it came down to me anyway in two parts. And that's the way I want to try, with God's help, to deliver it if He wills it to be so. Today and next Sunday, I know we don't go around announcing our burdens a week ahead of time normally, but I feel like part two is going to be a more personal approach. Today, though, I'd like to find out what the Scriptures has to say about Holy Spirit leadership, generally, to the church, God's intention, what God's plans are, what His plan is. Maybe then next week we can look into it from how we are to incorporate that in our daily life. When we speak today concerning the church, it's really not a mystery what the church is. The church is the body of Christ. It's the born-again believer. Members in particular. Here, there, and all over the world. It is those who have been born again and have gone on to be with the Lord. It is the body of Christ on earth and the body of Christ in heaven. They're one. So when we speak about the church, we know, we've heard much teaching on this. The church goes so far beyond the domains of these four walls, a roof, a concrete slab. But the church of God is everywhere there's a man or a woman whose heart is right toward God, clean of sin, walking in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's, to me, the church of God. It's really not a mystery. And we cannot bring it down to, though it is a select few, we don't have the prerogative of saying who those select few are. We know that much too. But yet, the church of God is exclusive. It is the body of Christ. It is select. But yet, God puts the members in the body. And thought about our service so far this morning. To me, that was an example of Holy Spirit leadership. Each one of us being able to come before the Lord with our thanksgiving, our sorrows. Each one of us coming with our physical needs as God leads us and guides us. Not to say, brother so-and-so, pray, or sister so-and-so, pray. To submit ourselves to God for the leadership of the service. To me, that was just one example of how God's Holy Spirit is capable of leading us in His church. So today we want to look at just some basic scriptures. You've heard them. But to let you know, let us know that God has a plan for leadership of the church. He didn't just say, I'm going to build my church and then, okay, whatever y'all feel like and however you want to do it. And every little whim of false doctrine, you incorporate that. And the skeptics and the agnostics, they're all, no, He didn't designate it that way. And He didn't delegate authority to man in the sense of ruling or running or guiding or establishing or directing His church. Praise God, this morning we have the Holy Spirit. I don't know how accurate this description is, but it maybe will give us a little bit of understanding. Those of you who remember Brother Cecil Carver, he said this, the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit is the chief executive officer of the church. Now, I'll leave that up to you whether that rings true in your mind or not. But I'm glad that there is someone that is over the church. It's God, of course. It's Christ, of course. We're His body. Christ is the head. But yet the Lord has a part of Him that is called a Spirit. It's called the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And He comes to the church to minister to us and to lead us into the truth. So today, let's just look at Holy Spirit leadership, maybe we'd say as a doctrine, and if the Lord permits, next week, how that pertains to me as an individual, how that pertains to us as a congregation. Here a few weeks ago, I preached a little message and used for the text, I believe it's in Hebrews, that the Lord had provided something better for us. And I use that phrase, something better. And I'm glad God has something better for us than loving ourselves first. And I'm glad He has spoken that to us, articulated that to us, told us about it, so that we could seek it, so that we could want it, so that we could desire and hunger after it. It would have been rather, I don't know if the word cruel is right, but I'll use it, cruel of the Lord, to have something so precious as His abiding Spirit in us, but never tell us about it. And then come around every now and then and later on say, well, I had something for you, but you didn't take it, and not tell us about it. Wouldn't that be rather cruel and malicious? Well, I'm glad the Lord from the very beginning began to tell us of something better, to tell us of the establishment of the body of Christ visibly upon the earth, the church of God, full of the dynamics and the power of God, joint heirs with Jesus, the body of Christ, members in particular, Christ the head, we the members, receiving from Him instruction, truths, and grace, receiving from us talents and abilities, and Him dividing them severally as He wills, according to His knowledge of me and of you and of the needs that exist, of our capabilities and what He wants to give us, of our devotion and our consecration to Him. The Lord wants to bless us with the Holy Ghost because it's imperative in these dangerous times that you and I live in that we have the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 5th chapter, perhaps, or the 19th chapter, in Acts, He spoke to the people there, the new converts at Ephesus, and He asked them, He said, have you received the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, since you believe? That was a message of the early church. That was a message that God has had preached since the inception at Pentecost of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit. And we remember from that story in Acts, at the Ephesian church there, they said, well, we haven't so much as heard if there be any Holy Ghost. And Paul said, well, were you baptized? And they said, well, to John's baptism. And they were subsequent to that immersed into the name of Jesus, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, we believe. And then they had hands laid on them and they received the gift of the Holy Ghost. The message of God to the church. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? It's imperative. Because the only thing that protects you and me from the destruction of self-love and the handicap of self-love is having the love of God in our hearts. It's more than just knowing about the Holy Ghost. It's possessing the Holy Ghost. It's more than just saying, well, we've heard and we believe, but it's being submissive to the Holy Ghost. It's allowing the Holy Spirit reign and authority in our lives. Let's read some scriptures this morning. The first one I want to read is in Isaiah, the 9th chapter and the 6th and the 7th verse. Speaking about a time to come, speaking about the advent of Christ, the birth of Jesus. And it said this in the ninth chapter and the 6th verse. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it, with judgment and justice from henceforth forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. A working of the Almighty God. A working of the Almighty God in heaven to us poor creatures here below. To us in our needs. To us in our lack of power. To us in our fears and in our self-love. He said unto mankind, he said, I'm going to send my son. And he shall in his power and in his sacrifice save his people from their sins. Jesus spoke about it was expedient, and we'll get into that in a minute, that I go away wanting to send to you and me the government of the church indwelling within us, the governor, if you will, of the church. Jesus Christ came, and we know this, as the offspring of God, God in the flesh, not as some would teach a created being, but God himself, him and his Father, they were one. I won't try to go into all the dynamics of that, because quite frankly, it's greater than I am. But we know this, God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world unto himself, so desiring us, for God so loved us, that he gave his only begotten Son, that you and I would not perish, but that we would have eternal life. That's love beyond where man could ever comprehend entirely. But praise God, we can experience that this morning. And he said the rule or the dominion of the church, the kingdom, the government, the rule of it will be upon him. And I think that's where we always have to, at least in my mind, base the thoughts of the Holy Ghost on, is that the government, the church has a government. There are rules for the church. They're not man-made. They're not set in a diocese somewhere. They're not established over in Rome or in any other place of the world, but they were established by God himself for his people and for his body. And he said, the rule of the church shall be upon the shoulder of this Son, upon Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. And we don't want to take away from that. We don't want to add to that. I don't think anyone in this building wants to usurp authority over that. I find it a very dangerous place to even want to think for a moment that a man can stand in God's stead in that sense. To make rules or to make regulations or to declare something holy or unholy. But the Holy Ghost can. And the Holy Ghost can lead us, what, into all truth. Helping you and me distinguish between the clean and the unclean. Do you need that in your life? I do. Do you need someone smarter than you? I do. Do you need someone that is more powerful and stronger against sin than you are? I do. Do you need someone to help you understand the difference between what God approves of and what God disapproves of? I need that, don't you? Do you need help overcoming the self-love factor? I do. Do we need power and understanding and teaching to let us know how to submit ourselves to God? Quite frankly, folks, I need all of that. And I don't want to exclude God from having right away in my life in every dimension of that. So he said the government is upon his shoulder, literally upon his back. He took the load. He established it. He died. He paid the price for it. It's his church. It's not my church. It's not your church. It's not the preacher's church. It's God's church. And he paid for it. He died for it. He suffered for it. And the price was totally paid on Calvary. And when he came forth out of that grave, on the day of Pentecost, God established his people in this earth. The church of God, filled with the Holy Ghost, led by the Holy Ghost. Thank the Lord. I think we as people need. And I'm not saying this in a speaking down to me or you. We need to understand what the church is. And that's not really where I am right now, but it is the body of Christ. It is his and it belongs to him. And the centurion got a little glimpse of God's authority and Christ's authority. He said, I say to that man, go, and he goes. I say to that man, come, and he comes. Jesus marveled at the man's understanding. Lord, help us. That we would have that understanding. That somewhere in the process of living saved, I've got to understand who the enemy is. And it's me. It's my love for myself. And I am so glad God has something better. I'm glad God has a remedy for self-love. He doesn't just say it's dangerous, stay away from it, but He offers us something better. Something that will measure to the stature of the fullness of Christ. Something that will be a crown, a diadem in the Lord to the Lord. Something that will be a crown that we will one day lay at His feet and say, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive praise and honor and glory. You're worthy, Lord, because this crown that symbolically perhaps, this crown that I wear belongs to You. The only way I had it, because You paid the price. He said it would be in the power of this child to establish the church. And this word establish means to support. It means to sustain. And it means to strengthen. I find the church without the Holy Ghost a very weak place. Now, I don't want to get into the teachings of two works of grace. That's not really where I am either right now. But I'll say this. When we are converted, surely the Spirit has dealt with us. The Spirit has led us. And surely we have the measure of the power of God in our life. But I want to say to us, if we linger there, God's going to come by with a message and say, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And He's going to let us know how necessary it is. And you know one way God shows us the necessity of things? He shows us the weakness of what we have. At least He does me. And He lets me know I got something better. And He said the Holy Spirit or God, Christ Himself, will be able to sustain and to strengthen. He said in Christ He would be able to order it. This word order is a very broad-based word in the Greek, or in the Hebrew rather. It means to erect. It means to direct it. Perhaps that's the two main ingredients of Christ in what we're speaking of right now, is that He has the authority and had it and exercised it and established or erected His church. That's who you and I are today if we're saved. He did it. It wasn't me. It wasn't Brother Clifford Wilson. It wasn't Brother Cecil Carver that was ministers to me. Great men. I loved them dearly. Listened to their counsel. But it was God who established us. We know that. He has then the order, the power to erect. And then He has the power to direct. He didn't create a church and fling it out into the cosmos. But He said, I want to stay with you. And I want to lead you. And I want to guide you. It also means to fashion it, to fashion something. Look at the handiwork and recognize God's handiwork. To frame something, to put boundaries around it. Walls of protection, if you will. To perfect it. And one other little definition in the Hebrew is to make something ready. Praise the Lord. I want to turn now over into the sixth chapter of Mark. Sixth chapter of Mark. This thought about making ready. I want to look at something here just a minute. We know that every one of us have an appointment with death. And if we believe the Scriptures, we all know too that we have an appointment with the judgment. I want to say the Lord doesn't want us to go to hell. Satan wants us to go to hell. Self-love is blinded and sends itself to hell. But God doesn't want us to go to hell. He wants to direct us to heaven. He wants to direct us in righteousness and peace. And in the process to get us there, He wants to teach us many things. The God of heaven wants to make us ready, or prepare us, if you will. Read with me in Matthew 6 and 34. Mark. And I was trying to read in Luke. Well, that would have been a saying Matthew, looking in Luke, and wanting Mark. Okay, let's get to Mark 6 and 34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and he was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Thank God this morning for his compassion. Thank the Lord for looking down on us and saying, those folks need help. Stanley Dixon needs help. Those people. All over the world, they need help. And why? Because they don't have any direction. They're a sheep without a shepherd. They don't understand the perilous times they're in. They don't understand the wolf around the bend. They don't understand the eagle that flies that will swoop down and grab the young. They don't understand. They're just sheep without a shepherd. And God said that's a pitiful place to be in. Folks, if God had left us without the Holy Ghost, without leadership, that's a pitiful place to be in. You know, if we had to choose in of our pathway, the songwriter said, in blindness, we'd go astray. Praise the Lord, this morning God looked down and he started to teach them many things. Praise the Lord this morning for many things. The things that he wanted to teach them. And he began to teach, and this word many can also mean large things. In the Greek, it's many. It's also large things. And another thing it can mean is deep things. Which brings me to a scripture over in 1 Corinthians 2 and 9. And may I say to us this morning, God has many things to teach us today. And we're going to hear in a minute what he said about that in John. But right now we want to look over in 1 Corinthians the second chapter. The Lord looked down on their lack of direction. Don't you know most of them had taken their own way? Most of them had fallen into the pattern, or some of them had fallen into the pattern of what the corrupt Jew was teaching, and some of them was no doubt pledging allegiance to Rome, and some of them had perverted the teachings to their own use, and no doubt he looked down on the people and he said, they're all looking for something, but they don't know. And yet I'm going to teach them. And he began to tell them deep things, marvelous things, wonderful things. May I say this morning, the Holy Ghost wants to tell you some wonderful things. Wants to tell you about salvation, about healing from sin. He wants to tell us about deliverance. He wants to tell us about power. He wants to tell us about how we can love God first. He wants to come and be a part of us, not just a bystander, not a coach on the sidelines, not someone. If you ever watched maybe a film clip or something of these marathon races, and as these men and women run along, I don't know whether it's their people or it's just people stationed by the way, and they'll have cups of water. And people will be just jogging around and down and running, and they'll run by and grab that drink of water and drink it as they go down, and then they maybe run a little longer, and someone else has got a cup of water for them. The Lord wants something more than that. He wants to abide in us. He wants to be a well of water springing up in us. He wants us to be able to give a drink of cold water to the thirsty. He wants us to be the one that has the power to say, you don't have to live that way anymore. There's a better life, and God has something better for you. He wants us to be the ones that has answers to life's questions and not always be filled with questions. He wants us to have that spring of living water coming out of our life. Not just, give me the water quick. Have to get that drink of water from somewhere else. God wants to be in us. Listen to what he said here in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 2 and 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, neither ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Things that God has made ready. That's part of what this many things means. God had many things that he had made ready, that he wanted to teach you and teach me, that he wanted to give his church. He wanted to bring us out of where we were and bring us to where he is. this morning. He said to you and to every one of us the things that God hath prepared. Praise the Lord. Things that God hath made ready for every one of us. And then he went on, but God hath revealed him. I kind of marvel at people sometimes, and I won't just say people. Sometimes we get a hold of things, and I don't know how to say this exactly. We get a hold of something, and we think we have become the ultimate authority on something. Folks, we can do that with a doctrine too. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not preaching against the doctrine. They are established in the Word of God, but I think about God, and we sometimes maybe, I say we, I mean that as broad-based as you can broad-base it, people feel like that they've got the answer. I'm glad the Lord has many things to teach us, that he's got great things to teach us. I'm glad it's an ongoing process, and they are not revealed by the intellect of man or getting on the internet and reading a bunch of garbage. They're received by reading and studying and an infilling of the Holy Ghost of God. He said, he will reveal to us. It's not a man at all. Praise the Lord. And he said, hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. What does he reveal? The deep things. Yea, the Spirit searcheth, not those little surface things that self-love gets caught up in and self-dynamics things. Oh, this is so important and this is so important and how we feel vengeance is so necessary at times and anger and how we can get overcome with grief and all the things that inhibit and attack the self-life. Aren't you glad today God goes beyond that and he says, let me tell you about some nuggets of gold. Let me tell you about some treasures hid in a field. Let me tell you what I really have in mind for you. One songwriter said, God would make this trial a blessing. Things that we go through, we sometimes question and we run from them. We try our best to deny them sometimes, and God begins to show us ourselves and we want to say, no, that's not me, and we hide our head as it was. But what God is saying, I've got something deep for you in this. Let me give it to you. Will you receive it? And he reveals it by his Spirit that searches all the deep things of God. Height, breadth, width, all the places of God, the Spirit of God teach you, and he teaches me. Do you remember the parable of the wedding feast? I believe it was the wedding feast. And in Matthew 22 and 4 is where it is. And the message went out was, all things are ready. All things are ready. Come. And you remember the story. People made light of it. I wonder how many of us today, by our standoff from the Holy Spirit, are making light of what God has provided for us. Think about it. God's got some depths he's challenging on you and me to go into. I'm not going there. God has made ready the plan of salvation through Jesus Christ. The government is upon his shoulders. I spoke of this chapter earlier. I want to go to John 16 now. John 16. I want to look at a few words in here. Again, this is what Jesus had to say about the Spirit of God. Some of the things he had to say. John 16 and 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. This is just doctrine now. This is the doctrine of the sending of the Holy Spirit, the teaching. This is what Christ taught. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say to you, but you're not able to bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He will glorify me, for that he shall receive of mine and shall show it to you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that all that he shall take of mine and will show it unto you. Jesus said, it's expedient. This word expedient means in order to bring it all about. I would imagine the disciples were pretty content with Jesus walking beside them. I say that they were content in their own mind. Because we know they really weren't content because there was strife among them. And the mother got involved in it. So we know it really wasn't contentment. People get involved in things, folks, never really brings contentment. Unless that person is guided by the Holy Spirit. Now, I would imagine, though, if you would ask the disciples, well, you're pretty happy with Jesus. Oh, he's right here. We're happy. And they would have stayed right there. They wouldn't have went anywhere else. Jesus said it's expedient. If I am going to implement all that my Father gave me, I've got to go away. To expedite it, to furnish it, to cause it all to come about, you see, he had something better, the Holy Ghost. And he said, if this cause of mine is going to be advanced, you can't stay where you are. You've got to go to Jerusalem and tarry there. And you've got to receive power from on high. I know he didn't say it quite that way. But he gave the commandment, tarry in Jerusalem, till you be endued with power from on high. He said, if I don't go away, the full plan, the completeness of it, will not come into being. I'm going to order this thing. I'm going to direct it. I'm going to establish it. I'm going to strengthen it. I'm going to do everything that the power of hell cannot prevail against my body, my church. And he said, in order to do that, I've got to go away. Because if I don't go away, the Holy Ghost won't come. He said, I've got many things to tell you. I've got some real deep things to tell you. I've got some things to tell you that surprise you. Bless you, enrich you, strengthen you, get the scales off of your eyes. Remember Paul? Get those scales off of eyes. I will show you things to come. Show you how to be victorious. I'll show you how to have power. I'll show you how to love as I love because I'll be in you. He said, I've got many things, but you're not able to bear it now. You're not able to understand it. You know, there may be some of us right here today are having trouble bearing the things that God has ordained. Maybe we're struggling with something God has directed. Maybe we are being told by the Lord about changes and we're not able to bear that change. We're not able to make that correction. We're not able to perform it. He said, I've got some deep things to tell you, but you're not able. You know, folks, you've heard me say this. There's a word that most of the time I wish was not in the English language. Because it's an open door for an excuse. And that word is but. I know you've heard me talk about that word and how I wish we had another. We could end our sentences with a period instead of a comma but. But here is a place where I'm glad for a but. Because here's what the Lord said. You're not able to bear it. Howbeit, or comma, but, I got some good news for you. He said, when that Spirit of truth is come, when he who is me and my Father come and make our abode in your life, you'll be able to bear it. You'll be able to perform it. You'll be able to go out and do it. You'll not only know, but you'll be able to do. I'm glad God said, but when the Spirit of truth comes. Folks, are you struggling today with something? But when the Spirit of truth comes, has God allowed things to happen in your life for your good and you're resisting that? And you can't get over it, you can't bear that? But when the Spirit of truth comes, when the understanding of the Holy Ghost comes, He'll begin to open closed doors. He'll be able and start to purge out obstacles in our life. He is a purger. He is a fire. He is a power of God. Do I mean to say we've got it on a slide and we can't miss heaven? No. But He gives us that power. Paul said, "O wretched man that I am." He's our answer, folks, is the Holy Ghost. I know we've got to be born again, and we cannot underestimate that. Folks, we need the Holy Ghost living in us. He is the director, to coin Brother Carver, the chief executive officer of the church. He is the one in control. He is the one that speaks of Christ. He is the one that speaks of the Father. The Holy Ghost didn't come down to us with something Jesus didn't teach. He came to magnify what Jesus did teach and show us things to come. Marvelous, wonderful, glorious things. He'll not take away in any way from the glory of Christ. And He'll not put that glory on any man or any group. Although the church I know is glorious and it's beautiful, it's not man's glory, it's not self-glory, it's God's glory. And folks, if we lose that, we don't have anything but a bunch of old things that think they're bright stars, and they're not. But with God, the church is beaming with beauty, with glory, and with grace. It is a reflection of the holiness of Christ. What if some, we said this morning in Sunday school, what if some did not believe? Does that make it all wrong? No. Let God be true this morning. Don't look on man, but look on the promises of God. Back over in, I'll try to get this in high gear. You watch a preacher when he says that, folks. Sometimes he's got a lot more to say. I really don't. 1 Corinthians 2 again. We want to go back there. Now we, in the 12th verse, where we left off, in the 13th verse. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. This world, the spirit of this world, is a self-love spirit. Promotes it on every hand. Don't care where, folks. It promotes self-love. But the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the world words of man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. To the vast majority of the world, what we teach, what the Bible teaches, is foolishness. It's foolishness. Why? Because natural man cannot receive it. Jesus said you must be born again. Jesus said it's expedient that I go away. Because if I go not away, the Holy Spirit won't come. But oh, if I go away, I will send Him to you. In another place, maybe the 14th chapter of John, He said, and me and my Father will come and make our abode up in you. That fountain of living water, that springs that make glad the city of God, comes to live and dwell in the heart, the life, the soul of the believer. That's what He wants in us. He said, we'll come and abide in you. Back into the 16th chapter of John, and He said He'll lead you into all truth. Thank the Lord this morning for the Holy Ghost that teaches us. So we, as Christians, He's shown us things to come. What are we going to do? He said the true worshiper, now is the time, not last year, not in a millennial to come, now is the time that the true worshiper. How are we going to worship Him, folks? We're going to get us enough symbols, and we're going to clap enough hands, and we're going to say enough hallelujahs? No. We're going to worship Him in spirit. Spirit of beauty and holiness and peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The spirit of humility, the spirit of obedience, the spirit of subjection, the spirit of His leadership in our life. Dividing and giving to the church severally as He wills and where He wants. And you know, we come to service and the preacher thinks he has a message and God help us to have a message. Surely we want that. But I want to tell you something, folks. We're a congregation of people with varied needs. And you think the preacher's going to have it all, and you pray for me because I'm not. But do you know the testimony of the saints? The songs of the saints? That prayer that is prayed, it rings out to God, it goes right over and touches a brother or a sister or a child that's in the depths of need. The Holy Ghost just takes it and ministers it right there. Song, testimonies, anointings, whatever. It's God leading us and guiding us. God feeding, God giving. The preacher is one, but we're all one in Christ. We can't, every one of us have all the answers. Brother Wilson was quoted as saying, it's okay to say, I don't know. Sometimes preachers may get to thinking, well, I'm a preacher, I'm supposed to know. Well, I didn't have to wait for him to figure out I didn't know. I already figured out I didn't know to begin with. What I have is of God, and that's all that we all have. But you know what? God wants us to have it all. He wants us to have His Spirit, all truth. He said in Luke, I send the promise of the Father. You tarry. You tarry. This Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, was promised of God. And He told His disciples, He said, you go and you tarry. Don't you go anywhere. Don't you go out there and try to preach. Don't go out there and try to make disciples of a bunch of folks. He said, don't do this. And don't try to figure out what Isaiah was talking about. Can't do it. It's just too deep for you. It's too strong for you. You'll choke on it almost. Because you'll be doing it from the flesh. You just tarry to I endue you with power and wisdom and authority from on high. And when the day of Pentecost came, where were they? Right where Jesus told them to be. Oh, let you and me be right where Jesus wants us today. Let you and me have a heart that's clean of sin. Let you and me be in fervent prayer for the Holy Ghost. Let you and me be hungry and thirsty after the power from on high. And those folks were under in one accord, seeking God in the fulfillment of His promise. And suddenly there was a sound of a rushing mighty wind. God came down to that little room. Those poor people, probably wasn't a rich man among them, may have been, but they were all hungry. They were all seeking God. And you know what? They received the power from on high. They received the promise of the Father. So, this morning, that's what God has for us as the church. Next week, if God permits, and I know this is a capsule, folks. This is a capsule of all I've told us about. It's much, much more than this feeble tongue can ever say. But it's a capsule. Next week, maybe, if God allows it to go that way, how's it supposed to affect you and me? What's it supposed to do in my life? How's it supposed to affect my day-to-day activities? Take it on a real personal level. What's the Holy Spirit's effect in the church? What's it meant to do? How's it supposed to work? What has God intended for the church? What has God intended for the members in particular? For fathers and mothers? For the preacher? For all of us? But right now, I'd like to say this. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? That was a very critical question Paul had. And he knew why. Because he knew self-love was too great. You pray for me. We're thankful this morning for the Holy Spirit of God. We're glad that He wants to impart that to us. We're glad God wants to live in us. That's, folks, I don't know what you think about the word honor. But that's an honor that God wants to live in us. Thank the Lord.